Before we read scripture this morning, let me tell you the story about a young lad who attentively listened to the scripture readings every week. And finally he asked, well, the Bible says that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. The children of Israel built the temple. The children of Israel did this and the children of Israel did that. Please tell me, the lad asked, didn't the grown-ups ever do anything? Well, the annual congregational meeting that we're holding today is exactly to give an accounting of what both the grown-ups and the children did in God's vineyard during 2009. And it also gives us an indication of what we need to do to keep our precious ministry on course and to fulfill and realize God's will for 2010 and in times to come. In critical times like these, it has become, as we all can witness, a matter of visioning or vanishing. So let us seek to discern God's will as we read scripture this morning. I'm going to read the same verse three times over. The first time we're going to read it in the Message Bible that we use very often. Secondly, I'm going to read the same text in the New Revised Standard Version. And finally, we're going to read it in the King James Version. Now, I know you will immediately see the differences between the three translations. But as a biblical student all my life, let me tell you one thing. They are not contradicting. It is as if you look into through a beautiful colored glass when you read scripture. And if you see the rays beyond that, you begin to get the bigger picture. And often we say, well, one translation cannot do it. So there's nothing wrong sometimes comparing the different translations. Let's do it first in the Message Bible. Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. And then from the New Revised Standard Version, where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but happy are those who keep the law. And for the third time, King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I chose the King James Version because many, many years ago, before we knew one another, that was the one text that gave so much direction in my own life that I still, well, not daily, but I still often remember. Only I remember it in a different language, but it says the same. Our second reading from the New Testament, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. And we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. And by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I can discern today what God's Spirit is telling us through a scripture. Long ago, around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus gathered and taught his earliest followers. And at that time, he was providing not only for them, for the people of his time, but he was providing a foundation for all future generations, every age and time, for centuries to come. Now, in this instance, Jesus told his followers, "You are the salt of the earth." We must get this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called the salt of the earth. And also the light of the world. So each and every one of us who believe, young and old, have a burden of faith on our shoulders, being salt and light. And if we're not that, then it's time to re-examine our relationship with God. Nothing has changed. It's still true. Jesus is calling us again today to be the salt and light of the world. After all, we still have the very same Lord and Master. Personal confession. I've went through many faith struggles in my life. And if I doubted what I'm saying from this pulpit this morning, I promise you in God's presence, I wouldn't be standing on this pulpit or anywhere else in the world on a pulpit. Question is, what does it mean for you and me to be salt and light in the year 2010? Well, a little bit of an examination of the word salt. And I left one out. Unfortunately, somebody leaving the church after the first service said, "And by the way, do you know that they also paid their soldiers in salt, with salt in those days?" Now, that was surprising to me. I'm glad I know it now. But I do know that in those days, they did not have refrigerators. People used salt to preserve food in the days before we discovered other ways to keep it. But they also used salt as an antiseptic to clean out wounds. And this really sounds painful, but many believe to this day that cleaning out a wound with salt is very effective in fighting infection. So, this is the example that Jesus used. "Like salt," said Jesus, "my followers will serve, they will preserve, they will cleanse, and they will protect God's people on earth." And then he went on. He also challenged us to be the light of the world. Now, and this is so beautiful, there's a little bit of humor here. "Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine!" Ain't that beautiful? "Now that I've put you there, why don't you shine? Like a beam of light shining through the darkness." Modern day followers of Jesus stand out and are visible for the entire community to see. And if people no longer think of you in terms of your personal faith, then it's not your fault, their fault. Then we must seek it in ourselves. And then we also have the temptation to allow our light to to shine only for those inside our church. I'm not talking of us as a church. While gently, kindly, but still ignoring people outside. In a little while, I'll have the privilege, just after lunch today, to stand in a different pulpit to conduct a memorial service for one of the big hotel owners of Cocoa Beach. And while I was preparing for that yesterday, I prayed and I said, thank you, God. Thank you for a ministry that spreads from the pulpit, not only into a building, a church building, but giving the challenge, giving the opportunity to also have a wider ministry. And it's not only me. It is God's will that you and I spread our wings in God's service, not come to be filled and after being filled go away and nothing in between till we come again. A true church of Jesus Christ steps beyond the boundaries of its own sanctuary and its own membership. We concluded that a vision without a task is only an empty dream. And if we have a vision but we do not have a task, then there is a disconnect between the reason why God called us to be part of His church in this world. And a task without a vision, I tried to find a word for it. The best one I could come across is drudgery. If you have a task but it's not surrounded, illuminated by your vision, then it's not fun anymore. A vision and a task is the hope of the world. Listen what Peter Marshall, from a man called Peter, said long ago. He said, give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for. Because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything. Hebrew scripture talked to us about visioning or vanishing. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So the Bible confirms that our visions shape us. Our visions control us. Our visions are determining factors in who and what we become, also as a church of Jesus Christ. Our visions or lack of vision also determine our interests, our directions, our finances, and affect the totality of the human experience. No part is left untouched by its influence. Unless a church has a shared vision, in due time, it will be forced to close its doors and cease to exist. Last Sunday was my one opportunity, given an opportunity to be away for the weekend, to have some rest, to find some rest. Sunday morning came and I couldn't stay in a comfortable hotel bed. Had to go to church. Of course. The desire was there. Got the address, yellow pages. Set my GPS. And off I went. Said it's about 12, 14 miles from where we were. Got to the address. No church here. Nothing there. Couldn't be. Quickly went to a corner, spoke to people at the filling station. Yeah, they're not sure, but they think there was a church there. And went back, checked my information, went on to Miss Church. And when I finally got back to the internet, Yeah, they still have a website, but it hasn't been serviced for a long time. It seems to be frozen in time. And then I realized that, my God, that church has died. It is no longer there. Something happened. And people come from all over because it's a vacation resort. And that church has died. It is no longer there to shine. I found myself in tears. And that led into a prayer for Cocoa Beach Community Church. We cannot live in the past or live of its memories. We cannot even blame our problems on others and say that God has called them and not us to address those problems. If you and I claim to be God's people, we need to focus on God's power and on God's purpose for this church of God. Friend, anybody can curse the darkness, but people of faith rather light candles to defy the darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and all those who served so very well in this church before. Yes, it's now 68 years ago. Once again renewed as if for the first time. A challenge comes to us today to act upon our visions rather than to vanish as many other churches are doing in our time. I checked the date. It is now just more than 4 years ago that from this pulpit, for the first time, the words came, Covades Domine. Today we know what it means. You'll see it in the report throughout that you're going to work on today. Covades Domine, it comes from the legend, from the Apostle Peter, who was in a dark moment of his life. He saw a vision, and it was Jesus he remembered. He was old then, and he asked, Rabuni, Master, Covades, where are you heading, Master? And we made it part of the being, part of the fabric of this faith community, to stay in touch with God through Jesus Christ, to be aware of God's presence, and to regularly ask, when we become confused, when we do not know how to deal with the new times, the modern times that are upon us, when people are yelling from all sides, you need to adapt or you're going to die. That is the time to get back to our knees and say, God, reveal your will to us. Where are you heading with us into this unknown future, O God? We want to follow. The choice is ours today. Once again, a call to follow the lead of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. 68 years in this place have shaped us to be open and welcoming for our entire community without unwelcome signals of any kind. You can go from the front and the side and the back of this church. You can walk the grounds. You can move through the buildings. And you will not find a single unwelcome sign for anybody to come through these doors. And if you still have and harbor and carry some unwelcome signs as far as you're concerned how the church should be, I beg you in Jesus' name, no more. We have a mission, we have an opportunity. God is calling us. And if we have no vision for our church a specific identity, message, mission, place, and calling in our community, hear my words, our church will vanish from this area. Where there is no vision, the people shall perish. And if you and I have no passion or vision for the hungry, for the homeless, for the helpless and the hopeless, our church and our ministry will be nothing but a worship club. A place where people come to play religion like in a concert. And we will no longer be the body of Christ at work in the world. Where there is no vision, people perish. We can get a good price at this spot if we sell this church. Make it a restaurant, for instance. Get a bunch of people. But we will have lost it forever. The opportunity. Thank God as we honor everyone who stood in this pulpit for so many years. Thank you for those who came before us, who gave us this heritage. Oh God, make us faithful as we contemplate the future. If there is no vision for fairness and justice for those who cannot speak for themselves, there will only be cries of anguish and powerlessness. Then we will do nothing to challenge every form of injustice in our community. If we have no vision for the development of our faith, and if we do not accept the call for dynamic Christian action, then our beloved church will certainly lose first his identity, then his mission, and his vision. And we will be a church of Jesus Christ no more, no matter what we call it. If we fail to act upon our vision, if we fail to fulfill our mission, this church will become only a museum for saints, rather than a haven where living waters flow, and where people come from all over to find wholeness and wellness as a launching pad to reach the lost and the unsaved for Jesus Christ. The church is not intended to be an infirmary for sick people alone. Yes, it is that as well. But also to be a health club, a wellness center where people come to get well again spiritually. Where people come like we take our car to a filling station and we have to do it from time to time to fuel it from the inside. Then our church will become a filling station where we are inspired to do what God challenges us to do today and in times to come. And then we will come here to get well and to get strong again. Because yes, sometimes it's not easy. If you think it's easy to stand in this pulpit, come on over. I'll step back and give you a chance. It's not always easy. Sometimes one has to reach for inspiration. Sometimes under tears, pray, God, give us a vision. Bind us together. Hold us together. Send us then back into the world so that we can respond to the challenge directly from the lips of our Lord and Savior. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Brother, sister in Christ, with this vision we have, with this commission God gave us, we cannot, we shall not perish. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy source of all truth, giver of power, come upon us now. Come as gently as a dove, or if you so choose, like tongues of living fire. Come as quietly as a summer breeze, or if need be, as a mighty roaring wind. Come and dwell within us. Enable us now to do those things which before we thought as impossible. We do not feel worthy. Holy Spirit of the living God, but give us, we beg in Jesus' name, those gifts which we can use to your honor and glory. Give us the grace that we may show forth not ourselves, but your fruit, even in our lives. Glory be to you, O God. Glory be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to you, Holy Spirit. Amen.